Once again, great to have you here. Happy Father's Day to you. And as you're coming in, you should receive some notes for this morning, more of a kind of a handout booklet there. So it looks something like this. And you'll want this to follow along, otherwise it'll be fairly difficult. I'm preaching a 31-point sermon this morning. Some of you are very nervous right now. Don't worry, I'll fly through some of them. So, but if you did not receive these, one of these, can you just put up your hand right now? And Aiden will come make sure you get one. Anybody not receive one? Couple over there. Thank you, Aiden. Couple in the back here, Aiden, over there. All right. So today's Father's Day, and of course, I think all of us have a longing to connect with our Father, but oftentimes I think we feel a little bit stuck on how to go about that. And the same is certainly true with our Heavenly Father sometimes as well, that we long to have a connection with God, with the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit, but we wonder, how do I go about really deepening that relationship with the Father? But I have two pieces of really good news for you if you're wondering about that this morning. Number one, our Heavenly Father is actually not hard to reach. He wants relationship with you, so much so that He died on the cross so that you could come in confidence before Him, knowing that He hears you. Number two, He's given us so many creative ways to communicate with Him. And some of us grew up maybe thinking that prayer is boring, and unfortunately maybe even experiencing prayer as boring when we grew up. And sometimes I feel kind of bad for God, you know, like the Father's probably up there talking to Jesus, like, hey, are we really that boring to hang out with? Like, nobody wants to spend any time. Like, people seem to, like, dread, you know, coming before us and chatting with us. Like, are we really that bad, right? But the purpose of this morning is to help you see prayer as a lively, real, creative relationship with a person that can take on many forms and modes of communication. And one of our core values as a church is transformative prayer. So as a follow-up and somewhat continuation of our Come and Heal Us series, we've been talking about prayer, for that is the primary context in which we are healed and sometimes transformed. Am I still coming through? Yeah? Okay. Felt like it went down for a second. Richard Foster says that prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. And we cannot bring transformation to others, which hopefully is one of the goals of your hearts, and to our world if we ourselves are not being transformed. And we cannot bring healing to the souls of others if we are ourselves are not humbly allowing our souls to be healed. Recently, we've talked about being prayed for and with by others through James 5 and as a part of our Come and Heal Us series. So I thought this would be a good time to kind of introduce this document to you. 31 ways to pray, and this is focused on individual prayer. I have one that I've created on group prayer as well for those who are interested, but this is on kind of personal prayer. And this message is important, for nothing can really replace your personal, intimate communion with God. And in fact, the goal of the Christian life that we sang about earlier is in fact union with Christ, our hearts becoming one with Jesus, which only comes through an active, real relationship, which takes the form of prayer. So the following here on your handout are some suggestions to help keep your prayer life fresh and creative, as well as to bring some structure to your times of prayer. And if prayer is really that important, we should be willing to work at it like anything else in life and discover new and creative ways to do it. And prayer is a learning process, and sometimes it's good to experiment with different ways of praying to see what works well for you. And so these different ways to pray are guides to help keep you focused and centered in your times of communion with God. And the way this works is that these are just outlines that you kind of use, but when you feel a grace to then move away from the outline and pray for something else as the Spirit leads, then you do that, and then when you're kind of done with that, then this kind of brings you something to come back to refocus your attention and to keep focused in prayer, because all of us struggle sometimes with staying focused. But don't slip into, you know, saying prayers instead of actually praying. So allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in other directions. These are just helps and aids and guides. And often it's a good idea to stir up your faith, I think, before you begin to pray. So I've listed a bunch of passages there for you. But John 15:7 says, Jesus tells us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And the reason Jesus says this is he knows that if his words remain in us, well, the things that we ask will be in line with his will, and therefore he will gladly give those good gifts to us, his children. So here are 31 kind of different outlines or scripture passages and ideas for your times of prayer. And this booklet I'll make available online under the sermon notes on this, and it's also on our prayer page and a few other places as well if you want to share it. But let's kind of go through some of these, and hopefully a few of them stick with you and help bring some life to your prayer life. So the ACTS acronym, you might have heard this before, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. You can use this as an outline. In adoration, we can use the names of God and just begin to call out his names. And if you don't have a list of all the names of God in Scripture, that's a great thing to compile, or you can find it. And then we go into a time of confession, just out of love for Jesus, confessing our sins so that we can be more like him. And a time of thanksgiving, where we make a specific list of specific indicators of God's goodness to us. And then we bring our supplication or our requests before God once we're in that place. So you can follow that outline. I have the four F's here because everybody, often most prayer requests deal with family, friends, finances, and our future decisions that we're making. So sometimes I'll just use this as my outline for prayer, and I'll pray for these things one by one. And you can come up with other helpful ways of praying that help you, other alliterations. So I've shared before, this kind of helps me, and you can do them at the same time or same place every day. So on my way to work, pretty much every day, I pray for four things, and they're my four main roles or responsibilities in life. And I use alliteration just to help me remember. So I pray for myself as a parent. I pray for myself as a partner. Usually I don't like using that word in relation to marriage, but it helps the alliteration. But as a spouse, I pray for myself as a pastor. And I pray for myself as a PhD student. So those are my four roles or responsibilities that I have going on every day in my life. And so I just go through each of those in my kind of 10-11 commute to work, and I take on each of those. And it just reminds me to pray for those things all the time, to be asking God to be at work in those areas. Of course, we can pray through the Lord's Prayer, and we just sang about that. And the Lord's Prayer, what I love about it is it canonizes or puts within the Bible these different types of prayer. And we can stop after each section and just reflect, so you can use this as an outline to pray. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So this is the worship. This is looking upward to God. So we spend some time looking upward and saying, God, make your name holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is general intercession. We're looking outward now to the needs in our world and our community. Give us today our daily bread. Now we're looking inward and saying, God, you know my needs. Would you take care of the things that I need for today? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors or trespasses or sins. And this is the healing that we're asking God to bring into our lives. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we begin to pray for holiness in our living and that we can follow in the steps that God desires for us. So you can use that as an outline. There's a time of prayer. Acts 1:8, we use this on Sunday morning sometimes. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So you use this pattern in Acts to pray for your community, your city, your province, our country, and then the world. And so you use that outline of the places God has called us to. One of my favorite things to pray through on a regular basis is the fruit of the Spirit. And you can spend a whole time in prayer just praying for these things and just stop on each one. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I just stop on each of those and allow the Spirit access to my heart. Lord, are there be anything, any of these fruits of the Spirit where you want to be at work in me, and then begin to open up myself, and then it just leads into this conversation with God where he's speaking and we're having a conversation about these things. I love praying through the Beatitudes, and if you've never just went through them and written out prayers or prayed through them, just go through those and each of the 9 Beatitudes that are listed in the references there. Put on the full armor of God, according to Ephesians 6. So just pray through this armor of God. Begin to put on the helmet of salvation. Ask God to guard your mind and keep your thoughts on him. Ask God to equip your feet with feet for the gospel, that everywhere you go, the gospel would shine. And you know, all those things of the armor of God, which you can read, and I won't go over each one. The Sermon on the Mount, a great passage to pray through again. You just kind of bring it open before you, and you just pray through it as you go. If you're feeling really burdened by some sin, then you go through Psalm 51, and you just pray through this as a prayer of cleansing for your sin. Number 10, pray the Scriptures as you read them. So as you do your Bible reading, respond in prayer to what you read. For example, you might read Psalm 112, verse 1, "Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments." And you just spend 5-10 minutes in prayer on this verse. And you might respond by praying, "Lord, help me to delight in your commandments. Help me to find them pleasurable and attractive. And help me to be bent and inclined toward your commandments, your righteousness, not towards evil, toward the ways of this world." You can kind of follow this outline for a whole time of devotion, that you pray Scripture, you ponder it, you personalize it, apply it, then you print it, you write it in a journal in a form of prayer, and then you proclaim it. You share with somebody what God has taught you. And you can do this daily. You can do it after you finish a book of the Bible and go back through. Well, this is often what I do. I go back through what I've underlined and I highlighted, and then I form them into prayers. And so I'll have a section in my prayer notebook of prayers from the book of Acts, prayers from the book of John. And that way they stay fresh in my heart, because I go back and I pray them and I pray through them. Speaking of a prayer notebook or journal, write out your prayers and begin forming a prayer notebook or a journal. I think this is a great practice to have. So I have, this is my original prayer notebook, which goes kind of way back. And like I said, I have all the names of God listed in the first couple pages. Then I have some pictures I've pasted in. And then I just have a bunch of written prayers, a bunch of things I've put in there, all kinds of stuff. And then a few summers ago, I had one of my summer interns make it all digital and type it all out for me, so that in case I ever lost this, I wouldn't be stuck. And so now I kind of have this binder of all the prayers that I've written over the years or responded to the Lord. So this could be, if you're a student, you could have prayers for your school that you've written out, and you go back and pray these. Prayers for your spouse. So I have several pages of just prayers for Hannah here. So I can pray through those on a regular basis. Similar to number 10 before, you could take sermons, or you could take notes from teachings that you're listening to or conferences you went to, and then form them into prayers so that they really stick, so that we can talk what we've been talking about, putting what we learn, our faith, into action. So a few years ago, I was at a conference, and Mark Buchanan was speaking there. He's a great speaker and writer, and he's from the island here. And now he's at Ambrose Seminary in Alberta, some of the messages just really moved me and moved my heart. So of course I'm just taking regular sermon notes, but then what I did is I went back and I formed those all into prayers, and so I actually prayed through those notes, and then now they're in my prayer notebook, and now I remember his teachings all the time, because not because I just go over the notes, but I actually pray them, and so that they're taking root in my heart. Number 12, use the written prayers of others. This is a great thing. There's resources out there that you could buy or just begin to compile on your own, the hundreds of written prayers that are out there. So I have some recommendations here, and you're willing to look through these. Unfortunately, none of them are in our current library. But, of course, there's the Book of Common Prayer. This has been around for a long time, and it's got great prayers in it, some of which you might find helpful, so that you've probably seen this red book before, more than likely. Celtic Daily Prayers from the Northumbria community. They just write beautiful prayers, and I've used a lot of these before, and some of them are arranged topically, so you could use this for prayer. 500 Prayers for Young People. It's an unfortunate title, because I read through like all 500 and they don't have necessarily anything to do with young people. They're just great prayers. And so this is a wonderful book that is worth owning. If you want something that's a little more heavier, this is the Encyclopedia of Prayer and Praise. And they have prayers throughout the centuries and then also prayers arranged topically in here. And you kind of get used to how to use it, the way everything's arranged, but you can use that as well. And here's what we're trying to say with a lot of these things, right, is that all of us struggle, I think, at times with prayer. Like, okay, what do I pray for? Or how do I stay focused on prayer? Or I don't want my prayer life to grow stale. And there's just so many ways that we can do this. And you could just take one of these each day, even for a month, and keeping your prayer life fresh and creative. And this will just open up your heart to different encounters with God as you use some of these different resources. 13, don't be afraid to pray and to sing to music. I mean, God has given us this incredible gift of music, and so feel free to use it. And there are different seasons in life where you'll do this more than others. When I was a university student, and I lived in very close quarters in my dorm room, and it was loud all the time, and everybody's playing video games and watching movies and running up and down the hall and at all times of night. And so in order to really have a good focused time of prayer, my only choice was really shut my door and just crank up some praise and worship music as loud as I could so that I could just cry out to God as loud as I wanted, and I could intercede, and I could, you know, just do all these things, and I could tune everything else out. And it was a grace in my life at that time to be able to do that. These days I find myself, because my life is just so noisy in general with kids and stuff, that when I can get away or be in the office, oftentimes I like it quieter maybe than I used to when I pray. But there are seasons that come and go. But don't be afraid to use that. And I still often do that. There's some resources listed on our prayer page. There's 24/7 prayer that you can listen to at any time through the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And it's live streaming 24/7 praise and worship, always live, all the time, plays right through your device, through your app, or through your computer. And I use that almost every single day in the background while I work. On the flip side, of course, sometimes we want to be silent and listen. And we need to just still ourselves before God, because prayer is a two-way conversation. And it's as much listening as it is talking. And I would say at least spend several minutes every time you're in prayer of always making room for listening. I usually end my prayer with about 5 minutes of silence. And I just sit in silence. And I just want to be before God. And I just want to listen to anything I might have missed. Use nonverbal language. This is important. God's language is deeper than words. So use expressions such as tears that might come, such as just sighing before God as a sigh of intercession, smiling before him, drawing perhaps just in his presence and in his company, whatever different gifts and things that God has given you. Have a picture prayer wall. Put up visual reminders of people, places, and things to help you pray. This could also go in your prayer notebook. I've pasted pictures of people or commitments I've made or things that just remind me to pray for the right things. Pray in the Spirit. So for those kind of in or from the Pentecostal charismatic tradition, spend some time just praying in tongues, praying in your heavenly prayer language that God has given you. And this builds up the soul. It just kind of nourishes the soul as you do this. So I try to spend several minutes every day just praying in the Spirit and awakening my spirit within me by praying in this way. Learn how to pray in-the-moment prayers. So aside from just our time in prayer, we're also just throughout the day hopefully being sensitive to the things the Lord prays on our hearts, people to pray for, circumstances, people we see and run into. Sometimes, you know, just even while you're talking to someone, if you have the mental margin, that you're just kind of praying and interceding for them as you're speaking with them. Because what we're not after is a prayer life, but a life of prayer, right? And it's one thing to have a prayer life. It's another thing to live a life of prayer, and that's really what we're going for, right? We're just this constant conversation with God. Fasting can be an important sort of aid to your prayer life. In different seasons in my life, I've used this in different ways. So sometimes you might be fasting one day a week for a season or period in your life. Other times it might just be one meal a week, or there might be several days a month where you're doing this, but this can really be a boost to your prayer life. Number 20, this is one that I learned kind of later in my adult life and that I use fairly often, that we practice the presence of God by repeating a short prayer for an extended time. So an example of this would be the Jesus Prayer. Have you heard of the Jesus Prayer before? So, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And of course, it comes from Luke 18:3, but there's a certain rhythm to it that it can just kind of stay in your mind and in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I'll use this if I'm having trouble falling asleep. I'll just repeat this over and over in my head. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So this whole Jesus prayer comes from a fantastic book that I think you would enjoy reading. It's called The Way of a Pilgrim. And it's by an anonymous person, written, I think it was a Russian Orthodox person a few hundred years ago, and eventually got picked up and translated. And it's the story of how he takes this Jesus prayer and what it does in his life as he learns to make it just a part of his daily rhythm. Like it's almost like his heartbeat that he has is this Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So it's called The Way of a Pilgrim, and it's a really interesting read. Another one you could do, as you know and as you will, have mercy. I use that one a lot. Or just, Lord, help. And just repeating that over and over. That's just a summary of what so much of the Psalms are about. Lord, help. And you just repeat it as long as you need until you feel God release you from that. Sort of in a similar way, but different, is centering prayer. You might have heard of this. There's whole books on it where you choose a word, Jesus, Holy Spirit, something like that, as a focus and repeat the word silently for a set amount of time. And the point is just to simply rest in the presence of God, to bring us kind of into focus with God and to quiet our heart and to quiet our soul before him. Number 22 is probably the only one on this list that I've never done, so I can't personally recommend it. It's probably not my thing, but I know that others have found it helpful, so I include it here, is that you pray through the Stations of the Cross. And there are places, even in our community, where you could find to do that, and some of you might have found that beneficial. 23, take a prayer walk and use creation to help you pray. So sometimes you just need to get outside and just be with the Lord out in his beautiful creation and take a walk and just engage in dialogue with the Lord. Take a prayer retreat for a day or a weekend. I encourage almost everybody to do this, you know, once a year or so. You can use a guide. One that I recommend and that I have people use and that I use myself is Alone with the Lord, A Guide for a Personal Day of Prayer. It's by Gordon Smith, who's been very influential in my life. And you can find this for like $3 or $4. It's called Alone with the Lord, A Guide for a Personal Day of Prayer. And it takes you through how to spend a full day in prayer with the Lord, particularly when you're seeking him for a decision in life or something like that. Gordon Smith. Yeah, Gordon Smith. And you can come up and look at all of these at the end of the service. 25. Have scheduled times of prayer. So sometimes having shorter but more frequent times of prayer keeps our heart more focused on God. So you might pray for 5 minutes each day at 9, 12, 5, and 9, and you could set your phone alarm to tell you, you know, 5 minutes of prayer at this point. And you're just constantly bringing your heart back into focus with God. We encourage everybody to set your phone alarm for 10:02 a.m. to pray according to Luke 10:2, that God would raise up laborers for the harvest. At other times in my life, I've done midday prayer, so I'll set my phone alarm for 12 o'clock, and I'll pray the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, and then go through that every day at noon, and it just kind of refocuses your heart on what am I doing with today? What am I doing with my life? What is God calling me to do? And so these are helps that you can use to have that life of prayer rather than just prayer life. 26, find objects to hold in your hands as you pray for people. Some of you are very visual. You're very, can't find the other word right now of what that is. So, you know, one example that somebody gives is you could hold a rubber band in your hand and you just, as you pray, and some of you are fidgety, I'm sure, and you just pray, God, give me a pliable heart. You know, make me malleable. Or maybe you're holding a piece of clay and you're just saying, God, I want to be like clay in your hands. Would you just mold me? Would you shape me into the person that you want me to be? And it's just helping you kind of stay focused and pray and engage with the Lord's heart. You can use visual aids. So maybe you just spend time with a great painting like Rembrandt's the prodigal son painting or something like that, and you're just kind of spending time engaging the Lord, because this is a relationship. So just like you would go to a museum with your spouse and you might sit and talk about a painting and get insights, well, you're just doing that with Jesus. He's a friend, and you can do that with him, but you're opening up your hearts before him. Use the senses, and it's okay if some of these you're like, oh, I don't like this at all. That's fine. I'm just throwing out 31 different potential ways, and there might only be some that you like. But the sense is our strongest sense that's tied to memory. And so, you know, if you're lighting the same kind of candle all the time when you pray, it just might get you in that right frame of mind where this is my time to be with the Lord and to hear from him. So God gave you five senses. I would recommend you use them, just like we use all of our senses in a relationship. Use your imagination. This is, I think, key. For example, Richard Foster suggests that when praying for persons with sexual problems, it's a joy to just picture a river that has overflowed its banks, right? It's gotten out of control, and invite the Lord to bring it back into its natural channel. And so you're just using your imagination to help you pray as you do that and engage the Lord's heart. Number 30, have certain days where you focus on specific social justice or humanitarian issues. So you might pray for the Middle East on Monday, human trafficking on Tuesday, clean water on Wednesday, refugees on Thursday, the homeless on Friday, or whatever things God has given you a passion for to intercede for. And so you might spend a few minutes of your prayer time each of these days that you know what you're going to pray for. And then the last thing, 31, is pray through your calendar. I usually close my prayers with this. So if I've had a prayer time and it's in the morning, and so now I say, okay, God, hopefully I'm in the right frame of mind. Hopefully my heart's in the right place. So now let's look, Lord, at what we're going to do today. Who's the people we're going to talk to? What are the things I'm going to do? What are the conversations I'm going to have? Who am I going to see? All those sorts of things. What do I need to work on today? What are my tasks? And then ask the Lord to help me with each and every one of them. And then I would be led and guided by his Spirit in each of those. So whether you have a paper calendar, you have an online calendar, you just begin to pray through that and the decisions that you're going to make. So as the band comes, here's hopefully what I'm trying to get across this morning, and hopefully it has worked, is that prayer is not boring. That it's fun, and it's exciting, and it's interactive, and it's a relationship with the God of all creation who has paved the way for you to be able to do these things. And, you know, think about it in a spousal relationship or in a friendship relationship with friends that you have. Is what I love about my relationship with my spouse, with Hannah, is that it's not one-dimensional. Right? Like, we don't only do the same thing all the time and connect with each other only in the same way all the time. So I love sometimes just telling her things, just pouring out my heart, how I'm feeling. I love two-way conversations of just kind of bantering back and forth a little bit and sharing with each other. I love just sitting quietly, just knowing she's in the room sometimes is enough. Right? We don't have to talk, but I just feel like we're hanging out even though nobody's saying anything, but we're just in the room together. I love being in different environments with her, outside, inside, going to different places, experiencing different things. I love silly and playful interaction as well as intense and passionate connection. And you can have both of those with the Lord as you deepen your relationship with him. And I love writing things out to her, right? I love writing her letters. I love writing her cards. I love, you know, giving her notes or whatever like that. And so sometimes we just write our affections out to God and we write our prayers out to God. And then those are things that we can hold on to. So do you get what I'm saying? That this is a vibrant, creative, lively relationship with multiple modes of communication that deepen our relationship with the Father. And we are made for relationship with God. And why should it always be the same? When the disciples came to Jesus before he taught them the Lord's Prayer, they came with this great question, which I think is the cry of all of our hearts and is the motivation behind giving you what hopefully will be for some of you a helpful tool. Is they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's been the cry of the Christian church for 2,000 years. Lord, teach us to pray. We long to know you. We long to be one with you. But we need some teaching, Lord, on how to do this. It's not always clear how to go about it. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer, which then just kind of says there's lots of different creative things you can be praying for and things. And Jesus kind of gives it more as a guide, even though it's good to say together as well. So why not start now? So we're just going to take a few minutes before we close by singing the Our Father. And I want you just to pick one or two of these and just put it into practice right now. Like, why not take a few minutes and actually try one or two of these? And let's just spend a few minutes abiding in the vine. And if you want to find another space, that's fine. Most of you will probably stay where you are, I realize. But if you want to spread out to a corner or you want to get somewhere, that's fine. If you go for a walk out in creation, you might want to come back at some point if you're taking that one. But and then Dio will close us by just singing the Lord's Prayer together and engaging our hearts. Well, let's just take a few minutes on this Father's Day. Let's just spend a couple of minutes with the Heavenly Father, maybe using a new creative way you hadn't thought of before. So just pick one or two of these. We're going to pray as a congregation together, and then we'll sing a closing song, and Dia will dismiss us with a benediction. Let's spend some time with the Lord.